Hey, this is Pearls and Swine. I am Levi, and across from me is Travis. And today we're going to continue on talking about some shocking statements that Jesus made. These statements are made by Jesus, and you're like, what are you talking about? They're so shocking that if you don't dig into the reality of what he's actually saying, they actually make no sense. They're nonsensical statements. So we want to look at just one of those. If you do look at it, in the midst of the difficult teaching or the nonsensical idea that he is presenting, there's this incredible, incredible nugget of truth that are really life-changing, life-transforming. The statement that we're going to look at today is a statement that Jesus made twice, once in the book of Matthew and once in the book of Luke. And both times he said something similar to this. I don't want you just to love your neighbors. I don't want you just to love your friends, in other words. I also want you to love your enemy. And you're like, what are you talking about? How would that work out on the playground in third grade?
Not so good. I like the first part of that when he says, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. That one I can get down with. But the other part, that's the crazy part.
Yeah, there's a historical backdrop of why he said that. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But part of it is that statement, the famous statement that Jesus made of love your enemy is probably one of the more famous statements that he's made, but it's also one of the statements that is probably ignored more than any other statement. Because if we're honest about it, it seems just really stupid. If we're honest, right? Like, you hurt me, I will love you. You hurt me, I will love you. This seems a good way to get hurt a whole lot. I don't know about you. I have a little self-preservation in my world, and this goes against everything that I've been taught in this world.
Yeah, it's definitely countercultural. I like the Old Testament way of eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. That's way easier to follow. And then Jesus always has to go and he has to turn everything on its head and he has to make us think about this stuff and challenge us to stand up in a different way.
Yeah, I think you have to start to ask some questions. You know, most of our time that we spend in our life is trying to figure out how not to get hurt or how our kids are not to get hurt. You have younger kids and one of them on the tail end is not big on self-preservation.
He hasn't figured that part out yet. He's always got a black eye or a missing tooth or something crazy like that.
Yeah, well, and so when a kid is running full tilt at something and you see that there is something painful, what do? We kind of put a barrier there. Mm-hmm. And this like rips the barrier away and says, go ahead, take a shot at it. And so it doesn't seem very sensical, but what is he really asking us? What is he really trying to unlock in all of this? That's what we need to dig into today.
That's the hard part. We want to fight against those things that cause us harm. Like, we have put up pads in our house for when our youngest kid is running around because he doesn't stop. He's the guy that's like the Kool-Aid man and will try to plow through the wall. And he just doesn't get it. As a parent, you understand that there's harm that can come of those things. And I think even when you start to think about this idea of what does it mean to pray for your enemies, to love your enemies, like, we have a sense of self-preservation in that because there's some emotional hurt that can happen when we try to do those things.
Right. And our mind automatically goes to
nope.
Nope. Or it goes to the crazy scenario, right? Like, what if there was a Taliban in your house? What are you supposed to do, Jesus? Just go and hug him? Like...
Well, I just had a conversation with a friend about this. He was on a road trip and he had many hours behind the steering wheel and he called me up and he's like, hey, what about this? Like, murder's wrong. We're not supposed to do that. But if somebody's breaking into your house and they've got your family held at gunpoint, like, is that okay? Is it okay to defend yourself? My natural reaction is, heck yeah.
Well, it is. And that's also in the justice of war. Augustine talked about some of those things and whatnot. Also, our laws permit for it too. But this is different. Jesus, in the context of this, is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching on God's view on our personal ethic, or maybe our personal ethic versus the kingdom of God's ethic. How do we treat each other? How do we love each other? How do we view each other is really important to the context of what he says in this. Jesus, in the context, he wasn't talking about whether or not nations should go to war. He wasn't talking about whether or not we should have police. He wasn't talking about whether or not we should defend our wife and children from personal attack. What is he talking about here? He's talking about our heart's response to those people. What is our heart's response to people who have hurt us, insulted us, people who have judged us, people who have taken advantage of us? For people who time after time have opposed us and come up against us, what is our natural heart's response? It's to get back at them, mm-hmm. right? And he's addressing that heart condition. One of the things that is interesting about this is the love your neighbor and hate your enemy idea is really a part of the Old Testament. The people that Jesus is talking to, they know this, they understand this. But the passage says that you have heard it said, which you said, you like that part,
mm-hmm.
or you have understood this as the law, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. They've grown up with this teaching, is what he's saying. This has been instilled in you. You've understood this.
Well, don't you think that it's almost like a natural response? Like we have the natural response of fight or flight when you're in a scary or stressful situation. When we get into those other situations of our enemies, whether it's a verbal attack that you're getting or somebody that you just don't like, that our natural heart tendency is to defend, attack.
Yeah, I think so. But I think there's also a bigger context to this. In the Old Testament, what they were working off of was there's probably 1,000 years of discussion on who's your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that question also, you know, who is my neighbor? They pose that question. But that is part of the issue with the statement that Jesus makes. And what he's getting at is who is our neighbor? We actually have historical, this is just fascinating, I think, on the historical concept of this. What is it? The Qumran community, I think it was found by a kid walking his goats. Him and his buddies were walking his goats through a rock up into a cave and something shattered and he went in there. That community actually existed about 100 years before Jesus came on the scene. And so there is documentation of this idea of love your neighbor, hate your enemy already there. It's mm-hmm. already a part. So this is a natural part of their understanding of God's law. This is what God has for us. And if we think about this, we often go, I think what you're saying is, we often go, there's self-preservation here.
Yeah.
And part of our self-preservation is we think we're right.
Mm-hmm.
We think that if God is on our side, then we should hate those who are not on what we deem God's side. And Jesus is flipping that at some level and going, hey, there's more to the story. There's the rest of the story, as good old Paul Harvey used to say. And he's giving us something else in that.
Back then, your enemy wanted to kill you.
Sure.
You know, there was all the wars and the fights over territory and stuff. So that makes a lot of sense. But it still is easy to justify in our hearts today where...
Well, I think the key question is, who does God love?
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus is getting at. Who does God actually love? What I think Jesus is trying to teach them is God loves everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the holder of God's love in all of this. So there's not an ability to hate those who hate God because God hates them. God actually, in his mercy and his grace, loves all of us. The scriptures are very clear. While we were yet sin, while we were yet rebels, while we were against God, he sent his son to die for us,
mm-hmm.
Which is pretty crazy. And so I think what Jesus is trying to push us into is to understand how God loves. To really live in that kingdom value, in that kingdom system, is to really understand how God loves and how he loves even his enemies.
I think that's a good point, too, where you called out those verses in the New Testament where it says that we were rebels against God, we were God's enemies, but he still offers the gift. The gift is still on the table for anybody who will accept it. But God also loves all those people before they make that decision. So how is, as a church, are we doing that?
Sure.
And I think that's an important thing that we need to consider. I think it's important that you figure out, like, okay, that guy just cut. Here's a big one for me. I'll be transparent. When you drive, don't drive like a knucklehead because I got some things to say if you cut me off on the road. That's not okay.
Right.
I mean, that's a heart condition that I have to pray through and work through and figure out. I mean, I know the answer.
Well, I think it's almost in the sense, you know, do not take the Lord God's name in vain.
Mm-hmm.
When you stick the God card on, you know, well, God hates whatever, even fill in the blank, or God hates this. Maybe it's an action, but he does not hate those people.
Right.
That's the part that Jesus is pushing into. God is not okay with everything that we do, but man, he's in love with each one of us and wants us all to come to repentance, all of us to come to a relationship with him. And he sought that so hard that he sent his only son to come and to die on a cross for us. So just like crazy, the concept of what he's trying to call his kids into. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, it is love your enemy and pray for them, which is just nuts.
Asinine, yeah.
Well, and that little tagline, though, is really crazy, too, I think. The tagline is connected to the love concept. And so what do we pray for? I know what I pray for. I pray for my kids, pray for my wife. I pray for things that I care about.
Yep.
And I think that's what Jesus, like, you need to care about these people, even though they are your enemies. He's not saying that they're right or that we're to deem them correct. They may be coming after us. It's real pain, real frustration. But then he says, hey, you pray for them because God loves them and wants to redeem them and wants to change them. Mm-hmm. Part of the problem is when I read this passage, my loophole, I always want a loophole. I'm loophole Levi. I'm like, okay, God, I'll pray for them. God, change their heart. They're all messed up, and I know it, and you know it, so change them. And sometimes that's actually true, right?
Yeah.
They've done something that is outside of what he'd have for them and outside that it's actually hurt me. But it's not – I don't think it's altruistic in my prayer. It's not, man, I know, God, you love this person, and help me to see them how you see them. Help me to understand what you understand type of a concept. You start praying for people in those ways, and I think it changes the concept of the pain that we're going through. Oftentimes, as you notice that there's something, you know, when somebody hurts somebody else, often they've been hurt by somebody else because, as the old saying goes, something rolls downhill. I'm not sure what that word is. Do you know that word?
We could Google search it real quick and see what it says.
You can all Google search that and figure out what that is. But it's coming from someplace. You know, the church doesn't hate the LGBTQA community.
Yep.
At Evangel, we're not going to say that we think it's okay, but we don't think anything's okay outside the confines of a man and a woman being married, right? But part of what we're dealing with, even in that subject matter, is an identity statement.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not actually enemies of the LGBTQA. I can't remember all of the things. We're not
plus.
There we go. We're not enemies of that, but we're also going to say, hey, this is what the Bible actually says in this thing. And maybe that is the most loving thing that we can do, but it's not like there are enemies.
Right.
Part of it is their identity is caught in this thing. And part of our identity is caught in certain things. Maybe it's our job. Maybe it's something else. You start to realize how important those things are to you, and you start to have sympathy. Empathy is maybe better, the better word, toward those types of subjects. Once you start praying, once you start going, man, God, I know you are absolutely in love with these people. Oh, man, God, help me to see them as you see them, instead of it being something that is a roadblock to relationship, a roadblock to whatever. Now, how do you deal with, and I think this would be a question, how do you deal with somebody who has come after you and actually has hurt you? What do you do in those places?
That's the harder thing, because like you said before, it's hard for us in our human state to delineate the action from the person. And just like that's how, like you said, how God looks at everybody. Like, he loves you. You're created in his image. You might be a horrible sinner of a person, but God still loves you. He looks at you as separate from your actions. And it's hard for us to do that. It's hard for the church to do that with a lot of those things. And so when you start to pray those kinds of prayers, God, give me eyes to see that person as a person that is offered this gift of grace because of the finished work of Christ on the cross. That's where your heart starts to change. And that's where I think that's the first place you have to go when somebody wrongs you, somebody hurts you in those ways. I think it's Romans 12 that when you start to pray for your enemies, it's like heaping hot coals on their laps. That's the one that gets me through this stuff to start. Cause my fury might be raging, you know, the volcano of eruption of my anger and my hurt and my pain are ready to just rage in full force. And it's like, take a step back. God, I need your spirit to move in me and work in me and see this person as you do and delineate some of that action from some of that other stuff and see them that they are created in your image. Your son went to the cross for them as well. And then you start to do some heart diagnostics and it's like, well, I'm not that perfect either.
Well, I think that's true, but I think it becomes really difficult when it becomes really personal.
Yeah.
Like, I think when it's your college roommate that has backstabbed you, it's your spouse that you're no longer married to because divorce has taken place. It's the kid who has publicly shamed you somehow by their words, even though you didn't do it. It's being accused of something wrong. And I think the scriptures actually talk about that also. It gives us some things. Forgiveness as Christians is always on the table. That's part of the love that God has shown all of us. But also it's releasing those things to God. I think we've talked about forgiveness before, mm-hmm. but it's releasing them to God. God, you can deal with them how you choose to deal with them. And I trust you in that it's that open hand, but forgiveness is always on the table. We're to confront those who have hurt us where there's pain or whatever. It's not just, I love you, I'm not going to tell you the truth type of a thing. So there's a context to the statement that he makes. And yet I think it really is about identity. It's who they are. Mm-hmm. They are creatures that have been created by the supreme being who is God, and they're created in the image of God. And so therefore they're image bearers of God. So to hate them in one sense is, in a small sense, is to hate the very creation that God has made. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at is, no, this may be wrong, but I'm also going to try to figure out how do I find solace and peace with this, but also how do I pray for redemption in this.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that Jesus said before he was crucified, a new command I give you, love one another. And here's another tagline on that thing, as I have loved you. And he gave up his own life for us. And you start looking at other people as God's creation, it changes things. You start trying to live this thing out like, well, how did Jesus love us? How does he continually love us? And that softens it a little bit, but it's one of those process things that takes time. Like you said, forgiveness is always on the table. We're to be quick to forgive, but the restoration of that relationship is going to take some time. And I think that's one of the harder parts when you look at the loving your enemies and caring for and working towards reconciliation for those people that have hurt you. Like sometimes it's easy to hold on to that stuff, hold on to that grudge and just stay entrenched in it.
Sometimes it's not even people that I really even know that irritate me. It's the lady who's like the super coupon lady. You know, you have like one
with
thing.
With the checkbook.
Yeah, with a checkbook in the line in front. You're like, come on! Like, you know, the Cheetos will be there, you know, tomorrow or whatever. And I think those things are kind of difficult. Mm-hmm. I think for me, sometimes it's just being annoyed with people. And I think that's just natural at some level.
Well, it's where we go to that place so quick. For you, it's the grocery store. For me, it's driving, man. Yeah. I get the road rage.
You get the road rage. Yes, you do have the road rage. But what Jesus says next is, he says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Pray for your enemies. Love your enemies and pray for them, that you may be sons or daughters of your Father in heaven. Really, the heart of that is, this is how my children act.
Mm-hmm.
They see people as I see people. It's the characteristics. And why do his kids act like this? Because God operates in this manner. That's how Daddy operates.
Yep.
The very next verse in that passage says, he causes the sun to rise on evil and good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous, which is a really fascinating. Like God doesn't smite. If you do something wrong, thank you, God. He doesn't smite you just to smite you, right? Because you're unrighteous and we've all been unrighteous. But he sends rain on the righteous, on the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? He goes on. Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. God loves those who are opposed to him. He provides grace for them by giving them sun and rain. It happens to both those who love him and those who hate him. If you don't pray and love those people who are different than you, you're really not exemplifying the family values, right? In the family, this is what we do, right? We are to be perfect like God, or to, I think a better way to say that, what he's trying to get at is to reflect God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reflection of our Heavenly Father. It's a reflection of who he is. So I think that's a really shocking statement. It doesn't do well on the playground. It doesn't do well at the workplace. It doesn't do well probably in your house.
Nope.
When the spouse is coming at you. But the reality is that we are to be, as Jesus calls us into, not the common ethic, but the ethic of the kingdom. Those who have hurt you, I know it's real and it's real pain and they feel like an enemy. Jesus already knows that. He knows the pain that you're going through. He knows the tension that those who have criticized you, betrayed you, taken advantage of you. He can relate to all of those things. I think he was betrayed. I think that people took advantage of him. People criticized him. His own family criticized him. But I think he's telling us the truth in this. And I think what he wants us to hear is, I am telling you, love your enemies, love your enemies. Jesus did this and he lived this. Jesus wipes out all the categories of people. You no longer get to live in a category of people loved and hated people. We get to live in this beautifulness of we love everyone. Doesn't mean that we don't confront with truth. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that we don't get to share, hey, you hurt me type of a thing and find reconciliation. But it isn't where we hold those grudges, as you said, or we hold this pain in such a way that's so tight. It's actually a worldview of the kingdom. It's a way of understanding the world in which we live. It's a way of us understanding who God is and the family values that he has put together.
And it's sharing some of that mercy that God's given us. When we recognize how much we've been given of grace and mercy, that God just overflows that and pours it over us, it gives you a little bit more heart strength to be able to do that and share that with other people.
Yep. This isn't for like the super Christian. Mm-hmm. It isn't for the ones that score, the perfect, 36 on the ACT?
Yeah.
In God's kingdom. This is for everyone. There is a belief system. And when we believe that God is on our side and that we can treat people with contempt or with hate, we've missed what God has called us into. And we've actually missed, I think, a blessing that God has called mm-hmm. us into. And it's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to stand in a place of choosing whether we love someone or we don't. And in a sense, we're slapping God's name on it as if he approves of it. This is taking the Lord's name in vain. And so, listeners, be careful. We realize that we all have pain from our past and pain from people that have hurt us. And yet God calls us into something new and different with Jesus' words. And those words are to love your enemy and pray for them. That's what the children of God do. And so go and do it.
And if you guys like what you heard today from our Pearls and Swine podcast, you can search Evangelical Houghton Podcast on Apple Podcast or Google Play. You can check out our website, evangelup.org, and our episodes are all there as well. We will catch you guys next week.